God is good, amen.
All the time.
So good to see you guys and ladies. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father King, Lord, we just come before you, Lord, asking to fill this place, Lord, and continue to fill it as you've been doing, Lord. And may my words, Lord, be your words, and may the things that I speak, Lord, be what you would have your people to hear, Lord. May the name of the God of Israel, Yeshua the Messiah, become greater. May the name of its water become less, Lord. Anything that I've added to the word that you want your people to hear, Lord, may you strike it. And may you make the hearts of your people good ground in the name of Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Hine matovu manaim shevarachim gam yachad. How good and how pleasant it is when brothers come together. Amen. And sisters. And indeed, it is good to be together. Amen. During the whole separation from everyone, there's been an anticipation of coming back together. And it's just as satisfying and fulfilling. And it's going to be even more satisfying and fulfilling as more people come back. As more people feel comfortable to come back. There's really something that's a little insane about anticipation. When you go without for a little bit, the anticipation of the next thing, it's like you never had it. Anticipating our coming back is something that was so strange to me, because I've spent so many years in the community with people, and then to not be with you. Oh, it's there's an anticipation of missing everybody and can't wait to see them. And the truth is that our God is constantly a God of anticipation. That sometimes we go through our lives with the mundane, the everyday existence, and we don't live with the anticipation of God moving on our behalf. We don't live our lives with the reality that God is looking to move and do great things on your behalf. That God is looking to fill you as a vessel for his glory and for the kingdom. And then tonight when the sun goes down, it's going to be Shavuot. And we will celebrate what God did for Israel in giving them the Torah, according to Jewish tradition. And then we also celebrate the giving of the Spirit. Amen. That God had given his Spirit to his people in great measure so we could have even more anticipation of our God. Exodus 19, it was in the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out from Egypt. Have you been delivered from your Egypt? Have you gone through your Egypt? Have you gone through a hard time? Has God delivered you? Do you have victory over some of your battles and some of your sickness and some of your wickedness, that God has given you healing? And indeed, we still have a long way to go, right? The Lord says through Moses when he went on the mountain, he says, say to all the house of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings. Let me tell you something, that God has defeated the many armies of Egypt for us in our own lives, in our own struggles, in our own circumstances. But if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own special possession from among all the peoples, and indeed the desire of God is still the same today. If you will say yes to his voice and come to him, that you will be his treasured possession, that he desires to fill you with the power of his Spirit to move mountains on his behalf. And this is the reality. And sometimes the biggest mountains are the ones that are right in front of us. Remember, even that giant mountain is a small thing to our God. And the promise of God was so strange. When Moses was on top of the mountain, he said, look, God wants you to be his people. Say yes. They just left 400 years of slavery. I'm telling you today, if you are 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 80, 1,000 years old, that God is looking to redeem you from your Egypt. That God is looking to move on your behalf and take you to where he needs you to be. And he does that within community. God is looking to do the supernatural, but we are not anticipating him. We sit going through our 24 hours of the day as if it's normal, as if the natural existence is the only existence there is. But there is a supernatural existence that our God wants us to walk in while we're walking in our natural. Amen? And the people, as they were there, realizing that their enemy had just been swallowed by the sea, it was very easy for them to say, yes, Lord, we're with it. Yes, we will do it. Whatever you want. You just drowned Pharaoh and his armies. You just freed me from addiction. You just got my bills paid. You just put me and my wife back together. Whatever you want, Lord, I will do it. At the bottom of the mountain, it must have been unbelievable to see the lightning and the smoke and the thunder. But that lightning and the smoke and the thunder, the substance of that is just as real as when God just gives you breath in the morning. That this is the reality that God wants us to walk in. When Yeshua, right before he ascended, in this same time period, the 40 days after he had risen, he appeared to his disciples right before he was about to go into heaven. And he told them to wait. Wait for what will be given to you, because the Spirit is going to be upon you. And it will empower you to do what I've called you to do. See, the disciples need to live with a moment of expectation, of anticipation of what God would do. What are you anticipating for this Shavuot? The children of Israel anticipated God to move on their behalf. Remember, every single person who didn't put the blood on the doorposts of the houses and the gates, they did not get delivered from Egypt. They didn't make it out. So that means that whoever left Egypt the first time had a little bit of faith in God. But it wasn't an empty faith, because they had seen the other 9 plagues. Have you seen God move in your life? This is the question that I think we all need to come to when we think about our life and our situation and what we've been through, the victories, the problems, all the stuff that goes with it. How many times have you seen God come through? Yeshua's disciples, they had to wait for it. The children of Israel had to wait for it. They had to anticipate that God would actually do something. From Exodus 19, it came about on the third day when it was morning. There was thunder and there was lightning and flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a loud shofar blast, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. It's like we're deaf and blind. God is performing miracles in our lives every day. And we don't move. We don't shake. Nothing. It doesn't make us blink. We don't flinch. The children of Israel at the bottom of the mountain, they're seeing the lightning. They're seeing the thunder, the smoke, the blast of the shofar, and the people were trembling. Brothers and sisters, I'm saying we need to tremble before our God, because he's doing miraculous things in front of us. Much of the world is consumed with COVID-19 or these simple things that are in front of us. But none of the problems that we face are too big for our God. He indeed can deliver us from anything. And in the book of Acts, the disciples of Yeshua anticipated him. When the day of Shavuot had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. So there was a supernatural manifestation of what God was doing. And I'm going to say it again, just the fact that you have breath in your lungs is a supernatural manifestation that God is real. He exists, brothers and sisters. And there appeared to them as tongues of fire, and they rested on every single one of them, and they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. Yet sometimes we're so superficially involved with what God is doing, that our amazement with him, our infatuation with him, has no root. Sometimes we get so excited about Shabbat and kosher, and I know some Hebrew words, and I know a little bit of the Bible, but you don't allow your roots to get deep into the ground. And this is the same thing that happened with the children of Israel, and this is the same thing that happened in Shavuot when the Holy Spirit was given, that the people were impressed with God. They liked the tongues of fire. They liked the smoke. It made them tremble. They moved because they knew it was God. Have you ever known that it was God enacting on your behalf? But we don't allow the root to really go down. We don't allow it to truly change us, that reality. And Israel did not allow that reality to change them. Their moment of anticipation became a moment of dullness. Because as soon as Moses took too long from the mountain, what happened? This guy, Moses, he's taking too long. I got a Zoom meeting in a little bit I got to get to. Make us gods that delivered us from Egypt. And the gods that they make, they attribute the divine name to. They say, this is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh who delivered you out of Egypt. Have you ever attributed God's miracle to something that is not of God? I wonder if there have been things that I've done in my, the miracles that God have moved in my life, and I've attributed to being lucky. Have I attributed to maybe I'm really smart? Or maybe I got over because I wink real good. Got a little charm, a little flavor. Thank you. Keep me humble. Eduardo was the most humble man who ever lived. Just kidding. I wonder, brothers and sisters, when we have all these experiences in our life where God moves immensely, how do we forget so fast? I just, you know, you can come from a life of nothingness and just straight brokenness and destruction and on a road to destruction. And then God cleans you up and God makes you whole, and then you're walking with him, and then something happens that is not even as bad as what originally you were delivered from. And we fall apart. Don't we remember the smoke and the thunder and the lightning and the tongues that were in the shapes of fire that rested on the people? Don't you remember when God healed your child or healed your wife or restored your relationships? And why is it when something comes against us that's not even as big as what we faced before and God delivered us? Why do we fall so short? Moses was taking too long. The Lord just drowned your enemies in the sea. I'm sure he's coming. And then even in the book of Acts, the most insane thing happened. You see God moving. He's healing people. 3,000 are coming to the knowledge of God. The body of Messiah is growing. We're seeing wonders. The dead is being raised. People are being delivered from demons. The blind are seeing. The dead are receiving their, the people who have lost people are receiving their dead back. When Yeshua rose from the dead, it says the tombs were opened and many holy ones came out. So Ananias and Sapphira, Acts 5, what they did was the whole community was putting all their stuff in one pot so that everyone's needs could be met. And they sold the field that they had. And instead of giving all the money forward the way they said that they would, they kept back some for themselves. But it was theirs initially, right? They didn't have to give it, but they made a commitment to it. And because of that, their bodies went cold at that moment and they fell on the floor. And they were drug out. And then when the other spouse came in, they were dragged out as well because they lied on top of that. I'm talking about these are people who would have been so close to the experience of God opening up the sky and allowing tongues of fire to rest on the people. And their anticipation of God at that moment was very different than what it was when they chose to lie to the Holy Spirit of God. Do we have short-term memory like this? Are we, yes, Lord, we will do. Yes, Lord, we will serve. And then when the situation gets so heavy, do we abandon that? Do we walk away from that? Do we turn from that? As this Shavuot is coming, what are you anticipating of God? What move are you anticipating God to move? What deliverance do we need? What healing do we need? What wholeness do we need? What abandonment of sin is God calling us to? At this moment, at this Shavuot, at the memorial of when the thunder and the lightning was on top of the mountain, at the memorial when the tongues of fire rested on the disciples of Yeshua, what are we anticipating from the God of Israel tonight and tomorrow? What will be the ripples of a people who are consecrated and committed to the God of Israel? Fully. Not that we're going to backstep it and do the Ananias and Sapphira. Not that we're going to do the sons of Israel where it took too long, so we made our own gods. We trusted in others. We attributed what God had done before to these false gods. What are we doing? Where are we at? We're back together. Is this back together going to be the catalyst for us to be more fully consecrated followers of Yeshua the Messiah? Because this is the moment. The next few seconds isn't promised to anybody. We have this moment. This moment to get right with the Lord. This moment to turn from sin. This moment to turn from wickedness. This moment to abandon that thing that's plagued you. This moment to say, Lord, use me. Fill me. Burn up anything that is not of you. And let me live to serve you. Because in the beginning, the lightning and the thunder and the smoke and all that good stuff, that was an outward manifestation of God's presence. We are in the new covenant. We have the thunder, the lightning, the smoke, and the fire inside of us. We have the power of God inside of us to walk in his ways, to walk in his truth, to defeat sin and by the power of his spirit. What are we anticipating? It is never that God pulls back and is not willing to give us. It is that we move away from him because we allow other things to get in the way. We allow that things are taking too long. We allow the doubt of, I don't know if I could support myself if I sell the whole field. So you know what, let me keep some of it. And you know, even when the 10th plague was about to occur, there were some of those who said, you know what, we're not going to anticipate the God of Israel. I'm not going to put that blood on my doorpost of my house. I'm not going to sacrifice that lamb. I'm not going to follow Moses into that sea because, let me tell you something. There's a sea over there. Pharaoh's over here. I'm good. We need to believe God for the supernatural. There are seas in our lives that lay before us, and there is our own Egypt's and our Pharaoh's armies behind us. And we need to believe God to split the sea. And I believe that if we believe God to split the sea, if we anticipate God splitting the sea, and if we are faithful to walk that out, we will see God do the unbelievable in our lives. See, I wonder, coming out of this red phase of COVID-19, I wonder how many of us were faithful to our yes, we will do during that. When we couldn't physically meet and come together, did you still anticipate God to move on your behalf? Did you anticipate that God still heard prayers, that God was attentive to his people, that God was alive and real and manifesting himself in your life? Because you know what? The day may come where we don't have a Beth El Gibor. God forbid. The day may come where there's no building, or there's no Zoom, there's no internet. How will you lead your household and your family? The day may come where your family is taken, God forbid. How will you live? Will you continue with all that the Lord has spoken we will do? See, the Lord didn't say, if everything goes good with you, will you follow me? If I provide for you, will you take care of me? If you get everything that you want, will you serve me? He says, serve me, you will be my chosen people. But there's no promise that we're just going to be floating across our existence. We'll face many trials and tribulations in this world and in this age and in this time. But Yeshua will deliver us from them all. Delivering us from them means we go through some of them. He's not going to swipe us away. This is how we get refined and how we're made whole, because the reality, every single one of us has chunks of coal and impure stuff that is attached to us. And as we go through those fires, as we go through those trials, as we go through those tribulations, as we go through COVID-19, the Lord is purifying all those impurities. He's making us whole to present us as a spotless bride before him. Amen. There is an anticipation for us as the body of Messiah. From Zechariah 14, it says, and this is speaking of Yeshua, it says that his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. That's the same place in Matthew 5 that he goes to the top of and he gives his discourse. He gives his Torah. He gives his teaching. That same mountain where he came peacefully and said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are these people. Blessed are those people. His foot is going to touch that mountain and crack it in half. Are we anticipating our God in this way? The Mountain of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move towards the north and the other half towards the south. there is a danger in the whole body of Messiah. The danger is this, and it has to do with anticipation. The danger is that we think because we've had that experience with the Lord, that because we might have known a little couple of Hebrew words and maybe did a little schooling or maybe even became a rabbi, that you think automatically you have some sort of good graces with God, that somehow your deeds won't be weighed, that somehow wickedness won't show itself to be true. And even in the portions that we're reading in Jeremiah, it was the same issue. When the prophet Jeremiah was giving what the Lord was saying to the people about the impeding exile from Babylon, the Lord said, he said, don't say this. Don't say the temple. Don't say the temple, right? Don't say that we have the temple in our midst, so it's all good. God won't destroy us. He was quick to, because of the judgment and the justice that needed to be rendered for the sins of the people. Our God is merciful, but our God is just. There is a limit to his patience and to a point where he calls us to account. This is why we need holiness today, at this moment, in this second. Amen? And the Lord asked this question, and it's kind of rhetorical in Jeremiah 7. It says, you're trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Because you got to understand, within the context of Jeremiah being a true prophet, there were more false prophets everywhere. And those were the ones that were saying, the temple of the Lord, we got the temple, we're good. No, Shiloh was where the Lord put his name, and he took care of Shiloh as well because of the sins of the people. So these are the words of the prophets that are saying, look, you're good, do what you want. And then the Lord asks a question. He says, will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, offer sacrifices to Baal, and walk after gods that you have not known? Then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say we are delivered? We are not delivered just because we come here. We are not delivered just because we know Hebrew. We're not delivered here just because we might have called on Yeshua. The Lord is looking for people who have changed their lives and are looking to walk before him. And what's going to happen if we live with that anticipation of living rightly before him? You will see a change happening in your life, a change in your existence, a change in your situation. And this is what God wants to do. Why? Not for us, right? For us, yeah, because he loves us. That's great. But the end goal for the Lord is the glorification of his name. And he glorifies himself by moving in the midst of people. There is something that is near and dear to my heart. And, you know, I didn't know if I would share about this, but the Lord is talking to me too. And we have a mountain experience, right? And the mountain experience isn't just the Mount Sinai experience. We have a Golgotha experience. We have the experience of when Yeshua carried his cross up to the top of the mountain and gave himself on behalf of humanity. And that was done solely for the purpose because there's sin in people. And we know what happened in Minnesota. And here's the issue. The whole world doesn't live with the reality that Yeshua, the visible image of the invisible God, no sin, paid the price for the whole entire world's sin. That he bore the sin for all of humanity. And the world doesn't care. One man gets a knee on his neck, and the whole world is uproar. That man's life is valuable. He's made in the image of God. It's heartbreaking to see a life snuffed out. But how much more so the King of Kings? How much more so do we not live with the reality of Yeshua's sacrifice, that he was snuffed out by the hands of his Romans and the hands of the world because our sins put him there? We think that the problem in Minnesota and the problem is racism or economy or different advantages. Look, I got black kids and a white wife, and I'm a Puerto Rican Jew. You can't tell me nothing about it. All right? I understand what it is. I get it. I understand the cultural differences and the racial differences that are supercharged. But let me tell you something. This is not a black or a white issue. This is not an economy issue. This is not a urban issue or suburban issue. This is, brothers and sisters, a sin issue. And the issue is that until humanity realizes that what puts me against you, what puts me against you, what's put me against you is the fact that we have chosen to reject God and we live our lives consumed in sin, that we're going to consume one another, until we realize that and turn to the true God, Yeshua the Messiah, there will never be an erasure of racism or hatred of self. How can I love your neighbor as yourself if I can't even love God? How can I love someone next to me who continually hurts me and harms me and will always let me down? Always. If I can't trust and love the one who never did anything wrong to me. I saw many messianic rabbis come out of the woodworks. This is an atrocity. This is a terrible thing. This is a bad thing. When that man got killed. And yes, it was a bad thing. It was a terrible thing. And it was a disgrace and a dishonor. But when the looting happened the next night, none of them said anything. We have a sin issue. It is not a race issue. And the only one that can make us whole and make us clean is Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. I wonder, how will the Lord use us? We are a melting pot of many different people. We are like the mixed multitude, right? And honestly, I wouldn't know half of you, more than half of you, if it wasn't for Yeshua the Messiah. See, because our God is in the business of bringing people together. And even many of the people who claim to bring people together still bring about division in their attempts to bring people together. You know why? Because if there is no exaltation of Messiah, there can be no reconciliation between mankind. Man in and of themselves will do wicked and they will do wrong. So here we are today. How will we live? Well, what the Lord wants all of us to hear, everybody listening, every person online who's listening to this, there is a call to anticipate our God. Because if we think what happened in Minnesota is a one-off chance, there will be more of this. More of this. And more of this. Because man will only choose to destroy himself. Man is hopeless without God. We need to be living vessels, exemplifying and radiating Yeshua's love. We get so consumed with the trivial things of our everyday. And even, look, we got to go to work. We got to do different things, right? We got to take care of babies, scoop kitty litter. We got to do all types of stuff, right? Five kitty litter boxes in the house or something. It's really bad. You got to do it, right? We all have stuff that is part of this natural existence. But we need to be a Yeshua-centered people. That in the midst of all the natural stuff that we're doing, that we are inclined towards our God, that we are seeking our Lord. How can I magnify you in this situation? Scoop me those nasty cat's poop, Lord. And it sounds funny, but the reality is that when the scriptures talk about sanctifying Messiah in your heart, right, with everything that you do, it doesn't say unless you're doing kitty litter. It says no matter what you're doing, right, that the everyday existence can become something that's holy. See, Israel had the Shabbat, right, so that you have the whole 6 days of the week that's normal, and then you got the seventh day that's the Shabbat. And then the book of Hebrews comes along and says, look, hold up on that. There is a continual rest in Messiah. That every single day that you live and exist is like a Shabbat unto the Lord. That because Messiah lives inside of you and you're his and you're consecrated to him and you're his ambassador in the world, that you sanctify the moments and the existence and the minutes and the spaces and the places that you go to. This is the continual rest that we have inside of him. It's not that Shabbat's not important. We celebrate Shabbat. That's all good. But that there is a greater pointing towards Shabbat, towards something that God wants believers to represent in this dying world. And that is a rest that comes from the Messiah, a peace which transcends all understanding. Does that make sense? I feel really close to the thunder and the lightning right now. And it's not me, it's because the Lord is good. Amen? You know, there's promises in the scripture that if you seek him, he'll be found. It says a little flicker of a flame, he won't snuff out, right? If you have a little flicker, he'll set you ablaze for his truth and his reality. So at this Shavuot, as Shavuot is coming and we're thinking about what God has done in the past for Israel and for the early community of believers, and we're thinking about what God has done about our own, in our own lives. What are you anticipating from him this time? We need to anticipate the fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God. Because the outpouring of the Spirit of God, we think it was a one-moment thing. It's one moment when you get the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. But God desires to continually pour more of himself inside of you. But the problem is, we like having us in us. So there's no room for the Ruach. There's no room for the Spirit. So what do we have to do? We have to allow COVID-19 and all the other things we go through to burn up the things that don't leave room for the Lord. It's a serious thing. We need a fresh level of intimacy. If you're not reading the Bible daily, shame on you. Read it daily. I'm telling you, your life will be completely changed. You will become a whole different person, radiating with God and his love. And we need to have a renewed commitment to live for him. Israel said, yes, we will do it. Yes, we will follow you. And as soon as Moses took so long, they made a golden calf. Remember, and the gold that they used for the golden calf is the gold that God gave them when they left Egypt. So are you using the gifts that God gave you, and are you building idols for yourself and saying, look at where I got my gold from. Look at where I got my stuff and my money and my things. For this Shavuot, I'm anticipating God to move mightily. Not just for my own personal life, but that God will move and ripple through all of Beth El Gibor, and that he would set us ablaze for him. And my prayer is that fire would come and it would burn away all the impurities and that we'd be a consecrated people. We're all going to go through that fire because it's coming. Will the fire consume you or will the fire purify you? That's the reality. Because for those who didn't put the blood on the doorposts of the house and the gates, that fire consumed them. For those who went through the water, it purified them. It consecrated them to holy people. But then even that moment wasn't the last moment. Because the continual sin and rebellion of the people, one moment yes, one moment no, never allowed that generation to even make it into the promised land. So what is the point? What does that mean? That means that every single day we need to be seeking our God. And I'll leave you with this last verse, because I believe this should be the heart of every single believer. Psalm 42, 1 to 2, it says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God. You ever been really thirsty? So thirsty that, like, it hurt? When I first stopped drinking, I'd have dreams that I had cotton mouth because I wasn't, like, you know, you'll have dreams like you're not drinking, right? It's just, so thirsty, right? So when you're really thirsty, right, there is something that moves your whole entire being, right? Like, you can't, you know, I can't talk to you, dude, I'm thirsty, right? And when you're hungry, I'm hangry, right? Because you're not satisfied, that there's something lacking, something missing. The psalmist is saying, look, Lord, I thirst for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And this is something that the psalmist needed to cultivate. It doesn't just happen. The more time that you spend with him, the more thirstier you'll be for him. That's why they put pretzels and stuff on bar tops so you get thirstier. Yeshua is like a pretzel. You get thirstier and thirstier because the soul is constantly making you desire more and more of him. And you realize that there's something strange about being satisfied yet not having enough of him. That he makes me whole. He makes me complete. I'm happy in him, but I need more of him and I want more of him. And there's no filling up of him. It's beautiful, right? But this is what God wants to do inside of every single one of us. And you know what the craziest thing is? That as you are drawing closer to him, and as you're seeking him, and as you're thirsting for him, and he's filling you up and satisfying you, you're going to be able to pour a cup of water for somebody else who's thirsty. Right? Because the whole world's thirsty. Everybody's thirsty. Everybody needs something to drink. But Yeshua says, he who believes in me will drink living water, And not just that, that person will become a wellspring leading up until eternal life. That the pouring of Yeshua inside of you will allow you to satisfy the thirst for other people to God. It's for the glorification of his name, by the power of his spirit. And it's an amazing thing. Can you imagine walking with him in such a way? Too many times, and we'll finish up with this, too many times we go into situations that are dark, family members that don't love the Lord, or relationships that are a little difficult, and we allow those relationships to contaminate our walk and our witness. Instead, we should, as the light, push away the darkness. But that doesn't just happen. We need to cultivate this thing. So once again, I'm going to read to you, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The psalmist is so consumed with God. He's like, I'm already thirsty for him. But the more I drink from him, the thirstier I get. I can't wait to meet with God. I can't wait to be in his presence and get to know him, because my whole existence has changed when I'm with him. And the beautiful thing that God did for us is that he gave us his spirit so we can always be with him. You're never alone. If this building's not here, if you're the only person existing in Pennsylvania, God forbid everybody else goes away, you're not alone, because you have the Spirit of God inside you. You have to live your life like that, that there's nothing. It doesn't matter if my wife's going to serve you, my family's going to serve you, anybody's going to serve you, if the Bethel Gabor's here, Rabbi Mark's here, not here, Rabbi Edward, anybody. The Lord, I will serve you wholeheartedly. The whole world turned their back on me. I will serve you. If I'm the only believer, Lord, I'll follow you. Look, we're called to be in community. That's absolutely true. But I'm saying, when COVID-19 happened, it was a fire to test a lot of believers. Some allowed the impurities to grow, and some allowed the impurities to be burned up. These trials in life will make us stronger. These trials of life will make us more consecrated to our God if we allow them to do what they are supposed to do. For the glorification of his name, and Yeshua gets all the glory. This last prayer, Yeshua, may you make us more aware of your reality, your truth, and sensitize us to your spirit. How we need to be sensitized to the Spirit of God. The question given during the Zoom meeting, someone said, you know, why doesn't God speak now like he did before? The Lord is speaking the same, it's just we're not listening. In the 21st century, postmodern world, we have atheism. In the ancient world, there was no such thing as atheism. Everybody believed in their own gods, but no one didn't believe that God existed. That's ridiculous. That's foolishness in the mind of the ancient world. So may we be sensitized to God's spirit. May we hear him. May we move with the leading of your spirit. Father, forgive us where we fall short, and we'll give your name all the glory in the name of Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Praise you, Lord. God is good. Amen.